Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have the Pick a Flick podcast. He does not know what his name of his podcast is. It says the Wesker's New Adventure Podcast, something like that. Anyways, Pick a Flick podcast is here with me. We're going to be talking about Martin having a prequel. Why? We're also going to be talking about Horizons not being so much a Horizon, because that thing is bombed at the box office. Talking about Paramount Plus, well, Paramount merging with another company. We're also going to talk about Gladiator 2. And we're also going to be talking about Captain America as well. So, without further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's do this.
Here we go.
And hey, man, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. So, when you told me about Shrek 5 coming out, I thought to myself, why? And I know why. Really? A $1 billion franchise, Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Carmen Diaz, and I think I'm just tired of Shrek. I'm fatigued of Shrek, even though it's been so long since we had a Shrek movie.
Oh, all right.
But here's the thing. This is just me thinking, okay, why I'm... I want to see Mike Myers be Mike Myers. I want him to be other characters other than Shrek. I want him to be back as Austin Powers. I want him to be back as Fat Bastard and Dr. Evil. I want another Austin Powers movie. I don't want... And I understand he kind of retired after The Love Guru bombed at the box office. And then
came back for the Pataphorit, which was...
a miss. Then he also came back for Inglourious Bastards for like a little short role. But I was hoping for something else because I really love his acting. I like his comedy and stuff like that, but I want something more with Mike Myers. And I feel the same thing with Eddie Murphy doing a standalone Donkey movie. The Donkey movie should have came out at the hype of the first one, not 20 years later or more.
Right. Puss in Boots got his own movie. Actually, two.
Before. That's really bad. If Puss in Boots got his own movie before Donkey did. Donkey. But anyways, what's your thoughts on it?
Okay, so at first, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued with what they could do here. They could do something different. I have hope that they could do something. The last two installments, three and four, they weighed with the quality. They're good in their own way. Well, I don't know about three, but four at least, I thought it was a great way to end it. Kind of similarly with how I kind of felt about Toy Story 3 and the way it ended, but Disney, Pixar, they brought it back. So perhaps they could do something different. And I think the funny thing about it is Toy Story and Shrek are coming out a few weeks apart in 2026. I think Toy Story, is it five now, will be out first and then Shrek. So that should be an interesting summer. We're doing stuff by then. We should talk about the box office.
Yeah, we will.
That should
We're
be
definitely
interesting.
going to break down the box office and everything. But so, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for another Shrek movie?
A cautious seven.
Cautious 7, but okay, a cautious sign with a 7 on it. Got it.
Yeah.
And me, I'm at a -1. So,
But I'm at an 8.5 for Donkey. I really, I
to be
need
honest
Eddie
with
Murphy to get that
you,
hit again.
would have asked me like I said, if you would have gotten me when very first Shrek movie came out, and then like, hey, we're gonna push for a Donkey movie. I'm like, hell yeah, give me Donkey.
Exactly.
But now it's been so many years, and it's to the point for me personally, just me, I feel like it's too little too late.
Ah.
I feel like, I don't think Donkey is gonna bring people to the theaters. I'm just being honest here. I think, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. It's not my first time being wrong on this podcast. But, I think that it's going to go to streaming. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to like streaming services. It's like, you know
Okay.
what? We had Axel Foley. He outdid his time with Beverly Hills Cop. And we know that movie's going to bomb because those kind of movies don't do successful at the box office. So let's put that
Right.
on a streaming service. Same thing with Donkey. I'm thinking that it could go in that same direction. But here's the thing. When does Donkey get released?
We don't know
Okay
yet.
then. Okay, so my speculation is this. Let's say for instance, now this could prove me wrong. I'm just speculating
Okay.
here. Let's say for instance here that Shrek 5 comes out before Donkey, which is no surprise.
Yeah, it
And let's
should,
say,
because
for
that would make
instance,
sense.
that it makes $5 billion or more. A billion dollar movie.
Right.
Okay, let's say it makes about $1 million, $1 billion, which, and then they're like, okay, you know what? It has a chance. It has a chance at having Donkey yet being into the movie theaters, probably. Because they know they can build on the franchise even more. So that's where I'm going with it.
That's an interesting assessment there. Donkey going straight streaming. It would be funny if Eddie Murphy's remake of the Pink Panther went to theaters, but Donkey goes to streaming.
That should be the title. Donkey Goes to Streaming.
While the Pink Panther goes to theaters.
Right? Which would be totally messed up. But yeah.
Right.
So I want to talk about one thing here. I was supposed to do this at the very beginning, but I got sidetracked with Shrek.
Yeah, you got me with the sh. I was like, here we go, Shrek. Okay.
Right. I
That's
was gonna do Shelley Duvall, and so
right.
here's the thing. Shelley Duvall passed away yesterday due to diabetes, and I just want to point this out. The very first time I've seen Shelley Duvall was not in The Shining. It was not in Popeye or anything like that. It was in Fairy Tale Theater. I don't know if you ever heard of that show. Basically, what she would do is she would come out onto this little stage setting that they have with a book of fairy tales. And what she would, and she was basically the narrator at the very beginning. And then she would come in at the very end. But she would do like stories like Jack and the Beanstalk. She would do Pinocchio and things like that. I drove my mom nuts with the fairy tale theater stuff. So it's very cheesy. I know it's very cringy now looking back at it, but that was my introduction to Shelley Duvall. But then you have The Shining. And that movie, the way that Stanley Kubrick shot the film, and even though I don't really care for the way that he set up Jack Nicholson's character that much, And even though there's some elements to the way that she played Wendy and stuff, but Shelley is a phenomenal actress. She is top tier, in my opinion, and is a sweetheart of a woman as well. And she will be greatly missed. And it's just heartbreaking to know that she won't be here anymore. But she is part of my memories. She also played in Mother Goose, was also another thing. And matter of fact, my wife introduced me to that like last year. Like, she goes, "Have you seen Mother Goose?" I said, "No, I didn't know that there was such a thing as Mother Goose." And so, yeah, if you go on YouTube, they have it for free. You can watch that for free. But what are your thoughts on Shelley Duvall? Or have you?
My knowledge is limited. I know that she was a very well-known actress from her time. The Shining, of course, is a classic in itself. Pipeye with Robin Williams. Classics. I don't even want to mention the third movie because that was a bad movie, Rose. The movie with Hulk Hogan that she did years ago. I'm not going to talk about that one.
I didn't even know that she did one with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Suburban Commando.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay, I remember that now. I need to go back and revisit that as a nostalgia review. It's a see.
I'm sorry to bring it up. You were bringing up all of her credits. We were Popeye, The Shining, The King Stuff, Suburban Commando.
And then there was Suburban Commando.
But yes, it's very unfortunate to hear that she passed away. I know she's a very iconic actress. Sending my condolences to her family. I got to get more to her filmography because, like I said, I know she's very top tier. Yeah,
she was. As a matter of fact, I actually had a friend of mine that acted with her last year in a movie.
Oh wow!
And she told me that she was just friendly on set and everything. She was really down to earth, and including whenever I've seen this other thing from another YouTube channel where he interviewed her. It was called The Collective or something like that. But she's just a sweetheart of a person. So, Grim Life Collective, that's the name of the YouTube channel. They do basically they go around looking at different locations and stuff like that of where certain movies are filmed. And they try to piece them together of where the exact location is. It's actually pretty cool. But yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about as far as Shelley Duvall goes. But now let's talk. I want to talk about Kevin Costner for a minute.
Yeah, Kevin Costner. My bodyguard.
And here's the thing. He promoted this movie, the very first one, on Howard Stern's show. And he talked about how this was a movie-going experience. This is the best thing that you're ever going to see on the screen. It is something he worked his ass off on. And how proud of it he was of it. And as much as I loved the trailer, because I did the trailer reaction, it didn't tell me anything that I needed to know about this movie. It didn't tell me what this movie was about. And I feel like in a movie, in a trailer, you're supposed to tell me what something is about.
Yeah.
Not tell me. I mean, you know, just show me what this movie's about. Tell me what this plot is to be invested. And that's, I think that's what everybody else felt like, though, too. I felt like everybody didn't even know what this was about. It's like, well, I'm not going to go see something I don't know anything about.
Yeah, because we found out two totally different ways. You were mentioning Howard Stern. I had read about it having its premiere at the Cannes Film Festival in France back in May, and I saw the clip of Kevin Costner in tears over the standing ovation. So I thought maybe, okay, this is the Citizen Kane of Western movies in 2024. Perhaps this could be something different. But other than that, it's been crickets. The fact that it got a part two similar to Rebel Moon and we saw the reception for that one.
Right. And another thing, though, too, is I think he was thinking, okay, 90s way a bit of doing the business stuff.
Right.
People are going to follow me to see this movie because of Yellowstone. Nobody follows the actor anymore. We don't live in that time anymore.
Right.
You know what? If that was the case, RDJ would have actually made $1 million over for The Judge, which is a phenomenal movie.
That's true.
Nobody follows the actor anymore. It's all about the story. It's all about the direction. It's no longer about the actor. The actor is secondary versus how he used to be back in the 80s and 90s, where basically you would go in for the actor. And I'm the same way. I go in for the actor and stuff like that. But I also am like, well, what's the plot? What is this what's this going to be like? What is this setting up? Nothing in this trailer. Yeah, it looks great on screen. But what am I getting as a customer? What am I supposed to be getting? Is the big picture.
What is it, Warner? What is it, Warner Brothers?
So, no wonder why it bombed at the box office.
Yep.
And this is also why they pulled it from an August release date and said, hey, look. Yeah. And this is a smart business strategy, though, man. I have to give them props for this. Mm-hmm. We're going to put this on Max and see if anybody's actually interested in this movie. And if anybody is, depending on the numbers, we'll come back to it and we'll put it over there. But in the meantime, we have a sad, depressed Kevin Costner that worked his ass off on something.
Probably was crying the same way that he was at Cannes.
Right, exactly. But yeah, that's just... but anyways, tell me what you guys think. Were you guys excited about Horizon? Were you not excited about Horizon? Were you excited about this big, epic Western movie that nobody really gets anymore? Which I was actually excited for. And were you let down because of the fact there was no plot? What was the reason why you didn't go support this movie? And also, too, are you a fan of Yellowstone? Do you still follow the actor? I'm kind of curious. Tell me in the comments below on that as well. So now we're moving on from Kevin over to Martin. And I'll let you take this one away.
Martin. All right. So, you know, some people love a particular show that it passed away recently. Goes by the name of Young Sheldon, based off of the one character from The Big Bang Theory. But now we have a new show taking its young title. A little bit skeptical about how that could potentially end up being. I'm not really sure. But there is going to be a prequel revolving around the sitcom Martin. I'm going to be interested to me, and it's taking a similar dramatic route that they did with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. What did they call the prequel? What, I don't know how to describe that, but basically Bel-Air. And reporting to the description here, it's set in modern-day Detroit, and it follows a young Martin Payne, a spirited teenager whose journey is characterized by ambition, humor, and a genuine compassion for those around him. And the show will explore themes of family, friendship, and life, while the young Payne balances on the tightrope between adolescence and adulthood. Martin's quick-witted, magnetic personality draws him into the high-stakes situations where he must confront obstacles, emotions, and ultimately find his path to success. Me, personally, not sure how they could handle this particular plot, whereas with Bel-Air, I do think that The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the original show, had a better balance of both comedic elements and serious elements, whereas Martin was pretty much full-on comedy, 100%, from 100 to 500, basically. And while I do think there is a possibility that they could do something with this, I don't know. Bel-Air already exists in his universe. It just kind of seems like something that kicking back off of it probably doesn't help that two of these particular sitcoms have had their stars work together in a previous movie. Don't know. But otherwise than that, I'm just going to be very skeptical about it. Who knows? It could be a hit. Might not be. I'm not sure. Could work. Could not. But yeah, young Martin, stay tuned.
I feel the same way you do, though, man. Like, here's the thing. Martin was never supposed to be a drama. It was always a sitcom. It was something that's supposed to be funny and make people laugh. Changing the tone of it doesn't make sense. I feel like if you did like an Everybody Hates Chris scenario or Everybody Hates Martin scenario.
Which is coming back with his own thing, too.
But you know what I'm saying, though? I think that it fits the tone on what Martin is. Mm-hmm. And I think he's trying to do the Will Smith route of doing like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thing. Of trying to be serious. I'm sorry, but Martin was never... He was a disc jockey.
Right.
And he was married to Gina. You had all that stuff set up. You don't need to have a young Martin who is trying to find out who he is and all that. I'm just using that as an example and stuff like that. You don't need to have a drama out of this. This is a comedy. It doesn't fit the realm of what the original sitcom was. I understand that you know, times have changed and stuff like that, and you want to try and maybe do what Will is doing. But here's the thing. Narratively and constructively, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was used in a way that is something special and different and unique. Because you can, even though it's a sitcom, and there's serious elements within the song itself of about him growing up in Philadelphia and him getting into a fight. So you can use that kind of...
I'm not scared.
Right. So therefore, you can use that in that kind of element. But Martin's a whole different monster altogether when you look at the tone. You know?
Yeah.
And it's also the same producers of... Like I said, this is nothing that I'm excited about. But it was set in modern day Detroit and follows in this spirited teenager whose journey is characterized by ambition, humor, and genuine, and like you said, compassion for those around him. The show will explore themes in of family. They already do that in the original sitcom. What are you doing? We don't need this. We don't really need anything, but.
Well, at this rate, I know the next pitch is going to be the Fast and the Furious, since we're going to continue with the themes of family. We're going to have young Dom Slimity out in the streets as an auto repair man. He learns about the true meaning of family. Coming soon to CBS.
And have Corona.
Right, don't forget the Corona. The family.
Family. With barbecue and Corona.
And family.
And family. And more family.
More fun.
But anyways, but are you guys excited about a Martin prequel? And tell us in the comments, because I'm kind of curious about this. Do you still feel like that this matches the beats of the original one that we originally got with the sitcom? Or do you think that Martin is doing a little too much to the point where he's changing the tones to where it would actually take out some of the vibes of the 90s to the point where you might not even be interested in it? Tell me in the comments below. I'm curious to know your thoughts. And you can always email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com, or you can also go ahead and tweet it out to me at movielovesunite over there as well. So now we have our next topic. So let's talk about the merger.
Yes, Paramount.
So Skydance CEO David Ellison said Tom Cruise of Paramount of Mission Impossible and Top Gun franchises is in support of a planning a merger, and that outreach that we have received from the entertainment community has been pretty remarkable and humbling. And this is, of course, Tom Cruise's quote. And then I'll get into pick a flick. Tell me about the merger and why he might think this is a good idea or a bad idea. So I think there's a great. So this is actually what Tom said. I think there's a great opportunity, the fact that we all have one of the first owned and operated studios that will be stable, that can think long term. That's not just going to have to focus on tomorrow, but can focus on several years from now. We really are going to take the long term approach to this business, and it's been really exciting, encouraging, and humbling that the greatest filmmaker in the world and artists are supportive in the transaction, he said today in an interview with CNBC. So what is your thoughts on it? And what does this mean as far as Skydance?
So this is still reported to be in the final stages, still not 100% set in stone, but this agreement could reach upwards to $8.4 billion approximately. And the hope is that there could be a way for the CEO of Skydance to, you know, rework the company, breathe some new life into Paramount's subsidiaries and channels, you know, the MTV, BET, VH1s, the Nickelodeons, I believe is even part of that umbrella. And I think it could work because it's not exactly a big company like, say, Sony that could probably swallow up Paramount and try to make its own thing and just, you know, break everything down and everybody all of a sudden is jobless. That would be the worst case scenario. I do think that Skydance could have potential in perhaps, you know, giving it some financial push. It seems like Paramount has been struggling compared to the other studios. So it could bode well for it. Just grateful that it's not a bigger studio doing this.
But also too, Sony, what are we getting in return?
Right.
But what are we as a customer getting in return for this?
Because when I think of Skydance, I'm thinking this production company.
That's all I'm thinking. I mean, okay, so I don't know if you knew this or not, but I did a little bit of research, though, too, on my end, though, too. So Skydance has made 9 movies with Cruise. So this means more money in his pocket, so no wonder why he's fucking excited.
Of course. It's all Cruise.
Right. Ellison has also offered a peek into his family investment, philosophy of how it informed the deal at its end, telling the network, "We're really comfortable with the business in transit." I'm sure you are. I think if you look at the technical prowess we have on a family side in the transition of the Oracle just went through, that was a time period where we bought more stock and emerged the transaction stronger than ever. Remember similar conversations around Tesla when we made the bet, obviously, as a family, and that we believe in here with Paramount, is the ability to transition this business to a double down on our core appliances and invest in technology and work hand in hand and believe that when we come out of this, Paramount will definitely be a winner. Ellison's father, a billionaire Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison, who is the backer of the Skydance's planned acquisition of the merger with Paramount in a two-step transition. To be honest with you, this is just corporate political mumbo jumbo.
But wait, there's 3 celebrities that also came out in support of this deal. Do you want to know who they are according to the rap?
Okay, tell me.
We have John Krasinski, Quiet Place, Paramount, distributes that. Jane Fonda, I don't know what she's done with Paramount recently. I think she's done mostly lower budget stuff in recent years. And Tyler Perry, you know, who has worked with BET.
Right.
Right. So, you know, if they got their support, it could be possibly a done deal. Who knows?
When they say technology, I'm afraid of AI technology. I'm afraid of what that technology consists of.
Yeah.
That's also another thing, too, that I'm actually wondering about. But it could be good for special effects departments and stuff like that, depending on what they're trying to do. So maybe they're trying to, with this merger, maybe they won't have to do as big as budgets, big budgets with it as much. Maybe Skydance has a separate budget away from the basic formula of doing certain things with marketing and also with their special effects department, maybe. Or in the technology. I'm just speculating on what it is. But this is basically just business 101 to me, right?
Business mumbo jumbo. I had to put my business hat on there for a second.
Mumbo jumbo. What I really want to say is, this is also something that David Griffin, what I really want to say is, when you go to Skydance 15 years, the core thesis of the founding of the foundation of Skydance was that this bridge was going to get built between Silicon Valley and Hollywood, and that was going to create a tremendous amount of distribution, as Skydance is very much a pure play content engine that was tip of the spear, the distribution that believes in where entertainment is heading, and really Paramount is a business that needs to follow suit and make it transformation and be able to meet this particular moment and time. So this might actually be, you know how we were talking about before where Paramount was talking about it teaming up with Max.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
I'm wondering now if Skydance is now trying to take over, that merge is not going to happen. Because it seems like to me when a company is looking to merge with another company, that means that company is probably suffering a little bit.
Right. And I hope it doesn't happen, because it's going to bring back this one thing, this one term. I don't think anybody's ever heard of it, but it's a little thing called cable. You know what I mean? It's this new revolutionary thing is going to be big. It's going to bring all these channels together. It's just going to be epic. Nobody has ever thought of this. This cable thing is new. It's exciting.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be groundbreaking, breathtaking technology that's going to be here forever.
It's cable.
It's cable.
Premium cable.
Premium, yeah. DirecTV. The only person that has it is my mom that still doesn't want to disconnect her DirecTV box.
Right. So don't get rid of your TiVo boxes.
Right.
It's going to be a hit.
Right. But yeah, that's pretty much everything I wanted to touch on as far as that story goes. But what do you think of this, guys? Are you guys excited about the merch, or do you not give a crap because it's about a bunch of like Nicolas Cage would say, mumbo jumbo.
Mumbo jumbo. I'm trying to stay up hearing all these quotes.
But of course, it's more money for the billion-dollar man known as Tom Cruise for Paramount. And then there's also more money, of course, for Quiet Place director and stuff like that. So it's kind of confusing on how it's laid out right now.
Yes.
So I think we need to follow this one a little bit more closely so that way we know exactly what we're getting. But right now, we don't know what we're getting. And as a consumer that is wanting to spend my ticket on something, I want to know what I'm getting before I say, okay, this is good or this is bad. This is also, we don't know how this is going to turn into Paramount Plus either for streaming. So, and it seems like they're doing Tesla. They're dipping their fingerprints in other areas aside from movies and entertainment. So I don't know. I'm just kind of skeptical right now.
But if it gets done, I expect Tom Cruise to jump off the Empire State Building. Probably something like
that. With no parachute or with a parachute?
Do you? That's a good question. That's a good question. Let us think.
Because someone's like, oh, you want me to do that? No problem.
Man is crazy. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's no parachute.
Look, guys, I'll do this PR stunt, but I'm not going to do a parachute. I'm going to go in. What I'm going to do is I want the helicopter to angle on sideways, and I'm going to catch the seat as I'm falling, and I'm going to turn back around, and I'm going to strap myself in, and then we're going to take off.
That's right. That's the plan. That's the cruise way, baby.
and then after that, we're going to have the Sky Dance logo playing as the helicopter is leaving.
I thought you were about to say, let's have...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The sky, the literal sky dance.
Well, it's Tom Cruise, so I mean...
Let's have the sky dance in a pair of mountains. Hello.
Right, and have some Irish people up there too while they're sky.
Yeah. Right. Genius. Right.
Yeah. So anyways, now that we did their PR marketing for them, what else do we have on the docket?
We are moving very fast with this. I believe we have left the trailer discussions for Captain America and Gladiator.
Okay, so which one do you want to go with first?
Let's get Cap out of the way, man.
Okay. So I like the fact that we have basically a Winter Soldier situation with this Captain America movie. I'm getting some Winter Soldier vibes from it. We also have Red Hulk in this, played by Harrison Ford, as well as Thunderbolt Ross. So he's appearing in this. I like the fact that we actually see the new Captain America and the new and stuff like that. I'm liking this. I like Anthony Mackie. I think he's a great, phenomenal actor. But yeah, I'm excited for it, but it's also dealing with the superhuman element of the serum as well, it looks like, still from the last Captain America TV series. So they're still basically I think that they're still going to go with that storyline for now. So And so I'm okay with that because of the fact that it fits in this narrative of what the story is. But that's me speculating on what I've seen. But I definitely like the fact that we have Harrison Ford in this. We have him as Thunderbolt Ross. And soon we might actually see him as a green, red Hulk. So I'm excited. What about for you? What worked for you?
Well, as I am not a huge Marvel head, I really don't have much to say. But I do, as always, the visuals look compelling enough to keep you intrigued. And I'm echoing your sentiments on Anthony Mackie. I know him personally from 8 Mile as Clarence.
Me too. So and he has really good parents.
Right. And he's finally getting his first superhero movie going to theaters, whereas B-Rabbit's superhero movie went straight to MTV and HBO for the Uncensored. So,
and you know what's bad?
Growth.
You know what's bad? Captain America's getting his own movie before Donkey.
Exactly. And before we get the GTA game. You see how it right. connects? You see how
anyways,
it connects?
Go on.
But yeah, as I was saying, I do have faith in Mackie doing something different with the character and just showing off his chops. He's a terrific actor. The supporting cast also has me intrigued. I mean, Harrison Ford outside of Star Wars doing something big in a blockbuster, even though I could tell from, you know, descriptions behind the scenes, he was, you know, fudging on his feet a little bit about it, but he still finished. He powered through. He made it in. And interestingly enough, Giancarlo Esposito has a role in there that also interests me. I don't know if Homelander will approve, but or Saul, let alone. But I'm intrigued to see what he'll be doing. This is another great character actor.
I think so too. I'm excited for it. I'm definitely ready for another Captain America. It's been a while, and then also too. The thing in the trailer, whenever one of the characters says, well, you're not no Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
That's what Harrison Ford, Thunderbolt Ross says. So
Steve Rogers.
The thing I like about it is playing off a little bit of meta, basically of what some other people are thinking, well, he's no Captain America or anything. So I definitely like how they're putting it in place of what other people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And how he has to prove himself not only to us as an audience, but also has to prove himself to Thunderbolt Ross and the rest of the people in the movie. So I like that little bit of a meta play on it. At least that's how I'm viewing it as someone that's watching a trailer. But, you know, that's just me going off the cuff of it.
Yeah, same here. Somebody who literally watched the trailer 20 minutes before showtime. That's all I got.
I watched it twice just to get an idea, just so I can actually narrow down everything.
All right.
But, yeah. So are you guys excited about the new Captain America movie? Are you not excited about it? Are you happy that, you know, we actually have Anthony Mackie back? Harrison Ford is going to play Red Hulk. And in case anybody knows, I'm going to do a little bit of a nerdy deep dive real quick. Red Hulk was basically someone that they were trying to design to stop Green Hulk from happening. And he decided to take it upon himself to go ahead and try to take him down. Oh. There you go. So now let's go on ahead and dive into Gladiator 2.
Yes.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I love Ridley Scott.
He's a madman. He was neighbors with that one guy, you know.
What was that one guy?
His name, last name was Diddy or something.
Oh, yeah, that guy. The P of the D of the Diddy. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's getting dissed from Eminem right now, and also from Kendrick Lamar.
Ooh, okay.
So
let's get back to that.
Ridley Scott, though, okay, the thing that I have against his trailers is the fact that he puts modern day music into his trailers. This is not the first time he did it. He did it with Gladiator 2.
Mm.
And then he also did it with another movie that he made.
Did he direct American Gangster?
Yep, which is a good movie. I definitely love
American Gangster. Which is nothing but chock full of Jay-Z soundtrack. Just all hip-hop.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did do that. But also, too, I think he also winded up getting John Legend in there, though, too, doing like a 70s song.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if you knew that or not. But he also did The Last Duel.
Yeah, well. The one that people were talking about. Did anybody see this movie? Why didn't you? That
one. That was also another movie that I remember that he actually did a trailer for. And the mixing on it does not fit with it. It had a Charlie, it was with Charlie Hunnam in it.
Charlie Hunnam.
He played the Sons of Anarchy.
One of the queerest folk shows back in the day, too.
Right. But anyways, that didn't... Oh, yeah. It was King Arthur. He did.
There it is.
And he mixed regular music with hip-hop... rock music or hip-hop music. It does not match together.
At all.
And I wish that they would stop doing that with every single Ridley Scott movie. It had me pumped. You don't need to have that just because Denzel's inside the trailer. That's my little nitpicky thing. But as far as the movie goes, as far as the trailer goes, I loved it. I love the callback to the original Gladiator movie. I love the fact that they're using the same costume as the first one. At the very end, it looks like he's going to get the armor. But yes, this looks everything. It feels like a Gladiator movie. It has more. It actually has more battles, it looks like, in Into the Dome as well. You also have a damn hippo in this movie. This is probably why it cost them so much money to make, just to have that CGI hippo. But I'm excited to see other elements within it in this whole entire deal. But what about for you? What worked for you?
The cast.
Denzel.
But yeah, Paul Mescal is becoming this.
Pedro Pascal, actor. Yeah.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal as well, who's been busy. I don't know how he's going to be able to promote this because this is right after Fantastic Four finishes shooting. This comes out in the fall. But yeah, man, what really drew me with this cast is just you mentioned them, Denzel Washington, my uncle. That's my uncle, huh? Denzel Washington. Once I saw the earrings, I saw the outfit, I said, yeah, this is probably going to get him that Oscar nod again. He went 2 for 2 this decade doing Shakespearean-like roles, kind of similar with The Tragedy of Macbeth. I haven't seen that one, but I heard it's good. The casting will probably drive this to me, but as well as the scenery, really, like you said, it just looks so realistic, you know, like olden times. And once again, the action sequences really intrigued me because that was just a driving force of the original. Ridley Scott is a madman. I do think he has it in him to do it again, but we just have to wait and see.
And I like the fact, too, that we're dealing with it years after witnessing the death of Maximus. That's also another thing I really liked is that, too. It's not a prequel. It's actually another person's story within this realm. And now you have somebody else now that's in charge of holding these things, these events, and being a tall douchebag. So, but the other takeaway I have with this trailer, I feel like it showed me too much. It was a 3-minute trailer.
Yeah.
You have enough building on it just with the name Gladiator 2.
And the cast list.
Yes. Those are the two things that you have going. And that's all you should build it on. I would have been fine with a 1-minute and 20-second trailer just showing Pedro Pascal into the fighting and stuff like that. Yep. And then go into the different actors that's in this movie and then fade away to black and say Gladiator 2.
What can I give to you to appease you, my son?
And then coming soon.
Right. And another minor nitpick that I have about these trailers. Can we stop having the words trailer starts now showing a preview of what to expect before the trailer starts?
We have a teaser before the teaser.
I'm like, my gosh, man, let's just go right to the trailer. Why can't we? Why is this necessary?
Right, we already know what we're watching. It's like, okay, you know how on YouTube and everything it tells us to make creative thumbnails and titles and stuff like that? You clicked on it because of the title. You do not need to actually tell us what we are watching. We didn't forget in like 5 seconds of what we clicked on to tell us what trailer we're watching.
3, 2, 1. Video starts now, and you just saw pretty much a good scope of what you're going to see for the next 5, 10, whatever minutes.
I get the fact that they want to start up hype, but we're already hyped. We already know what we want. We already know we clicked on a Gladiator 2.
Right, you know what we're here for. Why do we need a trailer starts now showing us what to expect? We're trying to go into this cold, people.
Exactly.
Oh.
But anyways, are you guys excited about a Gladiator 2? Are you just fed up like Pick the Flick is with the whole entire the trailer begins now type of thing?
I'm sure.
But exactly. But I'm excited about Denzel. I'm excited about Pedro. I'm excited about the rest of this cast. It looks phenomenal. It looks great. I was actually hesitant at first because I'm like, yeah, it's been so many years. Do we really need another Gladiator movie?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Ridley Scott's been hit and miss lately. I don't know. And then I seen this. I'm like, okay.
But Denzel.
But you got Denzel in this movie.
That's my, I got to support my uncle. That's my uncle. Y'all can say whatever you want to say.
They better not kill off Denzel. And trying to,
I'm gonna scream
because we've seen this before, right? Where basically you have a big star, you have him in a couple of trailer lineups, and then you kill him off.
Angela Bassett and Black Panther 2.
Yep,
pissed me off,
mm-hmm.
pissed me off, man.
But yeah, they better not do that to Denzel, he'll be underutilized as an actor if they did that.
Yeah, don't do my uncle dirty,
man. Uncle Denzel.
Don't do them dirty, man. I'm returning to Training Day too. King Kong ain't got nothing like, on me either.
Right, exactly. Thank you. I was about to quote it.
Shoot for ground. Suck us.
So, with that being said, are you guys excited about this? Are you not? Tell me in the comments below. Don't forget to email me at movielovesnight@gmail.com or wherever you guys find me on social medias and everything. So, now we're moving into Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Honestly,
I mean, 4. Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Oh my gosh.
So now we're moving into Beverly Hills Cop 4. Okay. So now Axel Foley has a daughter. It's been 30 years since we've seen Axel Foley. The nitpick I have about the fact that he has a daughter, none of the other movies that he ever mentioned that he was even married. I would have liked to see me being emotionally attached in some way to a female-led co-star role for him to actually fall in love with somebody. But in every single one of these Beverly Hills Cop movies, he doesn't fall in love with anybody. The whole entire thing is doing gags.
Which is crazy to me. It's only insinuated like some of the side female characters he interacted with. Something might have happened, but it's off-screen and up in the air.
Right. So that's a little nitpicky thing I have with it, was the fact that I want to care about your daughter, but I don't know enough about your daughter for me to care about your daughter.
Well, I guess they killed off the son, too, when they tried to do a TV show a decade ago.
That's not canon.
That doesn't exist.
That's not canon. People are not going to remember
that. Randy T. Jackson is dead. He's the dude playing the scouts, the dude as the dead dude is playing the other dude.
Right. Oh, you know, Axel has a son. No, he doesn't. Nobody knows he has a son. We're going to forget about all that. He's got a daughter now.
You have a son, but Axel doesn't have a son.
Right. But, you know, that's like a little small thing. The very beginning of it feels like a GTA introduction. Because you see Axel over there waving to everybody. It's like, wait, everybody knows but that this is a cop? But... but no, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in this movie. I thought the chemistry between the old crew and him was really good. Billy Rosewood is not in it enough. I really wanted to see Billy in it more than anything.
I like him, man. I wish he was in it more.
But what's some of your stuff? And then after that, I'll talk about more of my stuff.
Well, shameless plug, I did just put out a review today for it. So if you want to see a full expanded piece on that, check that out. But it's definitely a vast improvement over the third one. Still do think that the first two are miles above it, but it's good to see Eddie Murphy back in his environment, just doing his thing. The humor is hit or miss, but he is still very endearing and acrophobic and still has that energy. The body part obviously not, he's older now, but he still has the humor. So it was good to see him back over there.
It's good to see him back.
Yeah,
but you can definitely tell that when they tried to make him do his fast talking hustle type of thing, getting his way.
Trying to figure out the voice. I'm panicking over here. I'm panicking. What do we got to do? You just press right there. Yeah, that is.
It's cringy because it doesn't work in a 2024 setting, and then them trying to call Foley out on his own BS, and it doesn't, and it falls flat.
Right.
That's where it doesn't land, as far as that part goes. Because part of the reason why those films were fun was because of the fact that you got to see him ramble, him hustle people. He ended up getting a rich person's house for a week while he's over and it's being renovated.
Yeah.
So, and then he's trying to do the same kind of basic thing in part four, and he can't do that because, number one, we have the internet now. Everybody knows everybody and connected in some way in Beverly Hills. And what were we going to say? I'm just wondering.
I put my finger. I was about to say, you're right about the end it, because he definitely would have been on the news after the Detroit incident.
Right. So, like, I just feel like that part was forced. Then the bit with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and his daughter having sexual intercourse, and he has to keep on saying, "Damn, sexual intercourse." I'm like, okay, I get the fact that it's supposed to be funny, but if you hit me over the head with it more than once, it becomes forced.
Right, saying it several times. Like, yes, I know.
I get the point.
Good-looking actors who have characters that have interacted, had sexual relations with that woman. We got it.
But that's like that. But then I like the fact, too, that he actually gets to play the role that he's been wanting to play. He got to be a little bit more serious in this because he has a daughter, which is something that he wanted to do with the third one, which is be a little bit more serious, but also focus a little bit on the comedy aspect of it. So he got to do both of it. So I'm happy for him on that part. And the seriousness of it, I've really enjoyed. And the detective aspect of it, I really enjoyed as well. Because we actually get to see a little bit more of a serious part of him helping his daughter.
Right.
Especially whenever they go in there inside the car, you know, talking about the car lot and stuff like that, investigating the car lot. We get to see that. But also, like, it, whenever he's like, yeah, I was on that movie, Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah. And then, what was it about?
It was ascending.
And it was Jupiter. Yeah, I think that was when she was starting to warm up to him again when they were in the car.
Right. But, you know, I was actually quoting that part, though, before you actually said it, because it would be something that I would say, and it's kind of like a dad joke kind of thing. It's like, So, what movie did you see? What was it about? It's better if you say it. It was about Jupiter. It's about Jupiter. And it was ascending. I'm like,
that's, part of me that's is laughing on the inside.
You're right. But, you know, it's about, you have a 30 years ago since this character showed up with a legacy character.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought it was okay. I mean, I laughed at a few scenes here and there, but it could have, but I also like to see Serge. I like the fact that I got to see him and doing what he does.
Ah, man.
It's so much. But yeah, I thought it was okay. It's not as bad as, I'll be honest with you, this was better than Coming to America 2.
Oh yes, far better. Far better. I, from the first 5 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is it right here. This is my second favorite post Mr. Church Eddie Murphy movie. And that's because the material you're following is just hit or miss.
Right. Because and Coming to America 2, it felt like a 10-minute music video.
It did. And you people just kind of felt like too much cultural clashes just going back and forth. And it's just nothing sticks.
But with this, you're automatically sucked in. You already know that you're in Detroit. It feels like Detroit. It has the look of Detroit. And the thing is, did you know that Eddie didn't even want him to have the jacket anymore? He's like, look, it's been 30 years. The character shouldn't have a jacket anymore.
he should have a leather jacket. Like, you know, Delirious. Raw.
But yeah, if you guys are interested in this movie, I definitely recommend that you check it out on Netflix. There's a reason why this is dumped on streaming, because nobody really has any faith in a movie franchise that are that's geared towards a 30-year franchise. So therefore, they knew it was going to bomb at the box office. I was like, this movie should have been put out in there. So no, it shouldn't have. It made the right. They made the right call on it. Put it on Netflix. Let them then make money that way. Well, you don't really make money off of Netflix, but at least they won't have a box office bomb like they would. And I think the hour and 40-minute mark was perfect.
Yeah. It took some time for me to warm up to it. I looked at it and I was like, pushing 2 hours, I got Coming to America 2 PTSD. That's why I felt like that. I was like, there's no way that this movie should be this long.
But here's the thing, though. I watched all three of them for my rewatch review before part four. So I felt like...
Did you cover Candy Cane Lane?
No, that's not part of Axel Foley.
Oh, you're talking about Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. I did all my rewatches before Beverly Hills Cop 4. So therefore, I was like, okay, so this is actually close to the same time frame as the other three movies. So therefore, I was like, okay, that's perfect for me because it's basically keeping within the same tone and the same runtime. So I'm fine with it. Oh, if it was any day longer, I'd be like, nah. I'll be
right. If it did Oppenheimer numbers, it would be like, okay.
But I like the helicopter scene. I also like the truck dumpster scene as well, and then the snowplow machine.
Yeah,
those were my three favorite moments in the movie.
Indeed, so. I'm gonna have to be with you on that. I did crack up at a scene where there was a brief argument over code switching. That gave me some laughs because I was definitely not expecting that cameo. I was like, hey, I know that comedian. I'm surprised he got the Netflix movie. Good for him. But yes, the snowplow scene and of course the chase scene where they're in the city and this lady, the security lady, is just spraying copious amounts of pepper spray. This is so unrealistic because he would have shell out at some point.
Exactly.
But it was fun.
It was. So that's going to be it as far as everything we wanted to talk about, man. But guys, if you want a full on review of Beverly Hills Cop 4, check out the Pick a Flick podcast out. And you'll be able to hear that review. Tamika and I might actually review this movie together just to get some more stuff out there. But I just want to give you my brief thoughts on what I thought of Beverly Hills Cop 4. But my question for you is, tell me what you guys think of Beverly Hills Cop 4. Did you not like it? Did you like it? Did it keep up with the nostalgia? Are you glad to see Axel Foley back after 30 years of us not having a Beverly Hills Cop movie? Was this something that you needed in your life and never knew that you needed in your life? Tell me in the comments below. Also, too, don't forget to go on ahead and email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com and let me hear your thoughts. So, with that being said, I just want to make a couple announcements. I'm sorry that I wasn't here for my House of the Dragon review. I had to get the Multiverse of Geekdom to come in and help me out on Wednesday night. My mom fell last Friday and broke her humerus bone. So therefore, I've been dealing with and helping out with just life situations and stuff. So that's why I wasn't here. That's why I had the Multiverse of Geekdom here to help me out with that show. But I am hoping to come back this week and do a couple of reviews. So with that being said, I'm going to have... On the 16th, I'm going to have my friend Soda. We're going to talk about the American Pie 25th anniversary. We're going to do that scene by scene at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And if you guys don't cancel me after that, I'll also have True Lies, the 30th anniversary review with Arnold Schwarzenegger at 8 o'clock
p.m. Why would they try to cancel you, man?
Because of the American Pie review, because it doesn't.
Are you about to do a live demonstration with apple pie? Don't do it.
No. Sorry, McDonald's has actually frowned upon me doing any demonstrations for them for their apple pies.
Yeah, good.
As for sponsorships, they said hell no. So, anyways, on July 18th at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, I will be doing a True Lies review for the 30th anniversary of that film. On the 17th, I have my good friend and writer, Christina Ann McClendon, and she wrote a book called Unbreaking the Chains. And this is her dealing with alcoholism, her breaking the chains through alcoholism and just helping people with being addicted to alcohol and stuff. And she has a new book. She has a book out. So I'm doing some PR for her for that. And then on the 21st of July, well, actually on the July 9th, I'm going to take that back. July 21st. Sorry about that.
I was about to say it's the 12th. It's the 12th.
I cannot read my own handwriting. Oh. So, on July 21st at 10:30 a.m., I am going to be doing a blank check review. So if I'm going to get canceled with American Pie, there might be a chance I'll be canceled for blank check.
And do not demonstrate nothing from that movie. If the, I would just disassociate. What's the movie Lovers? Never heard of them.
No. There's movies, yeah, but yeah, there's I'm movies. A movie I lover, but
I'm a movie lover, but I don't know that man. I don't know that lifestyle. I don't know him.
Then there's a bunch of videos of you and I in shorts.
Exposing the Pick and Play podcast.
But anyway, guys, that's going to be it as far as this movie news segment goes. Thank you so much, Pick a Flick. I do appreciate it. It's always fun to have you on here doing this with you, as always. I'm glad that we had a chance to actually do a show. Once again, guys, I apologize for not being here last week. My mom fell, broke her humerus bone. But I'm hoping that this week I'll be able to do some shows. So always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.